Shalom and blessed be the name of the Lord. We want to continue considering the issue about conflicts and fightings and anger that comes among the people of God who have been sent to occupy the world and to rule the world for God. James is speaking to the missionary communities who are scattered everywhere among the nations. Before God, the objective or the purpose is to become a blessing to them because they are carrying a blessing. But one of the things we discovered that can be able to stop that blessing, it is the conflict that comes amongst themselves when they did not have the same purpose or the true purpose of the unity of purpose, as we call it. Psalms 133 says, how blessed is it when brothers live together in unity, when they serve the same purpose. It is like that oil of anointing that flows from the head of the high priest, even to his beard, to his clothes, and goes even to the hem of the garment. That's the power of unity. That's the power of oneness. And we also discovered in the previous section that what is in the heart comes through the mouth, as we saw in chapter 3. And because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, and also what is in the heart or the fullness of the heart, it is manifested through quarrels and conflicts and fights amongst God's people. He also said that we cannot be able to control the anger. We cannot be able to control what comes in the mouth or the tongue. We cannot also not be able to control the quarrels and fighting and conflict amongst God's people. We cannot be able to do that. There are at least four ways that people try to deal with conflicts amongst themselves. One, some people just try to avoid it. They assume that nothing happens and they avoid it. As soon as they avoid it, they discover that there's a monster that comes back again in a bigger way. A family cannot avoid conflicts. A couple cannot wish away conflicts. The church members cannot wish away conflicts. Abraham and Lot could not wish away the conflicts and quarrels among themselves, because Abraham told Lot, look, we are brothers and we live in the midst of our enemies. So one of the way the people try to deal with it is to avoid it, and that is not a good way. Number two, people try to deal with conflicts amongst believers who are the missionaries of God and supposed to be a blessing to the nations, just by what we call to resolve. They call it conflict resolutions. We cannot be able to resolve conflicts. Conflicts cannot be resolved because they come far away from what we see. What we see is only indicators. Just as we discovered that we cannot control the tongue, we need to deal something with the heart of a person. And the heart of a man is deceitful, and nobody can be able to deal with it. So we cannot resolve conflicts. It's a waste of energy to try and resolve it, because those who try to resolve it, they find that those issues comes again in a bigger magnitude. Number three, which is a better one, is that they try to manage it. Management is a good model. Managing is that they do not only look at the issues, they are also concerned about the people themselves. They are concerned about what to happen to the rest of the people. You see, management is a proper way of dealing with conflicts. But it's not the highest. The highest one is when you can transform a conflict. Transforming a conflict is when you want not to win the case. You see, in a management, many times, people win the case. But sometimes they lose the soul of the person. But management, sometimes they are not also able to deal with the source of conflicts, because sometimes they deal with the, you know, they manage the consequences. But the good thing with management is that they are concerned with the heart of the other person. But transformation of a conflict is a comprehensive way that people, believers, deal with their issues in a biblical view. This is when you transform the lenses through which you look at the issues. You are no longer looking at them from a human lenses point of view. You look at them from God's point of view. This is the time that you are not concerned about winning the case. No, winning the case is not your goal, but winning the heart of the other person is your goal. Yes, this is a time when you look at it and every one of you grows. In transformation, you grow. You are not led to lose this other person, although they have been used as an agent of conflict. This is when you want to see that the issues will glorify God. God shall be glorified through what you are going through. This is when you're trying to crowd the enemy. And I normally use four means here when it comes to the transformation of a conflict. Number one is that you are going to glorify God. Your objective is fourfold: to glorify God in the whole case. You look at it from a glory point of view. You're asking, how can God be glorified? Look at Abraham and Lot is a very good example of the people who were able to transform a conflict into the glory of God because of the way they dealt with it. Number two, you who is more mature, you want to carry the good of the other. You do it for the good of the other person. You win the heart of the other person, and you want that person to be part of you even after the conflict. You realize that that person is not the problem, but there's a bigger problem that both of you can be able to tackle. And number three is not only that you have the good of the other, is that you also want to grow, that both of you can grow. You become better people. You will look at it and say, we are now better. We can handle ourselves. We can carry ourselves with a dignity, with a better way. And finally, you are able to tackle the source of the conflict from the enemy's point of view. You are able to resist. And that's why we were saying in James chapter 4 that you can submit to God. You see, that's like for the glory of God, you are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. You are supposed to come closer to God through conflicts. This is the model or the worldview that you are taking from the biblical point of view, and God will come near to you, able to wash your hands, able to purify your hearts as from double-mindedness. You're able to grieve and mourn and wail. So you're crying out of what is going on. These quarrels makes you to mourn before God. You change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he lifts you up. Now, from verses 11, it says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. This is what we have just said. I'm summarizing from the Bible now, from the book of James. That is, you're not there to slander that other person because of the conflict. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment of it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, and one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So you see here, you're not supposed to be able to judge your neighbor. So you have a view, or the biblical view, to look at your neighbor. This way of dealing with the conflicts is to look at it from God's point of view. the one I've just talked about. That is the transformation. You're transformed, not to look from the below, but to look from above. And you look at your neighbor the way God would look at it. You, number two, you're also able to look at tomorrow. You know, you go beyond today. You look at it from the future point of view. Now, listen, you who say today or tomorrow will go to this and that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while, a little while, and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and the other. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them. So you see here now, you are a person who transforms a conflict. Also look at it tomorrow point of view. They have not forgotten the purpose to which they were called. They do not boast about tomorrow. They put tomorrow in the hands of God, and they discover that today it has been disrupted by the conflict, but they say that tomorrow shall be better. When they look at the business point of view and the money point of view, they say, we want to entrust ourselves into the hands of God. Paul says that I have entrusted that which concerns me today in the hands of the Maker. And you know that with God, it shall be well with all, with everything. And you're not afraid because you know God shall make it to pass. So we need not to be arrogant. Our schemes should not be to out others. And you're able to look at God from the point of view. You look at yourself, look at the future, and look at every other element and stakeholders and all the factors. That's what transformation of a conflict is all about. But you see, the final says, if you know how what to do good is and you don't do it, that is sin by itself. So let's aspire to do good. Let's aspire to not to out others or to outshine another. Let's always look at that person from God's point or from the eyes of Jesus that says, they are better than me. It's not easy. But it requires a new heart. It requires a heart that has been transformed, a heart that has already been broken, as we saw in the last session, a contrite heart, a heart where you have dealt with the elements that were humbled there, were seated there, a heart that's broken, and a heart that is renewed for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Help us to know how to deal with the list of the people through the conflicts that we get, that we will not be concerned about ourselves, but we'll be concerned more about you and others and the purposes of God, in Jesus' name.